feast or solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Both were sinners and both became saints. Saul became Paul and Simon became Peter. One knew the Lord, one did not. One was the teacher, one was the preacher. Both were united in Rome at their death in the year 67. If you go to Rome today, you'll find the image of Peter and Paul side by side, with a fresco, a mosaic, a statue. They are seen as inseparable, and yet, throughout their lives, they were quite distinct. Paul never physically saw the Lord. He was not a witness to any miracle. He never heard the voice of Jesus Christ. Unlike Peter, who had been with the Lord, seen the miracles, was a close companion, and yet, like Saul, was unfaithful. Peter was afraid of the cross and denied the Lord. Paul, who was once called Saul, hated Christ and persecuted the Christians. Both were converted and both became great saints. And both are significant even still today for us. Every sinner can be a saint, and every saint once was a sinner. And these two great apostles, united in their blood in Rome as martyrs for Christ, remind us that everyone is called to teach and to preach. Paul, who was converted, he was a Pharisee, and his main task was to arrest and put to death Christians and authorize the death of the first martyr in the church, Stephen, was on the way to Damascus when Christ converted him. And the conversion of Saul to Paul was unique in human history because he received insights from heaven that we don't normally partake of. He also received mystical revelations that enabled him to know the Lord in such a tremendous manner that he became known as the greatest missionary of the world. After a period of time in interior formation, he went off to preach and teach in distant countries and wrote more books in the Bible than any of the other apostles. Such was the significance of Christ in his life. So he was the great missionary. Anyone enthused with Christ or imbued with the mystery of Christ within is somewhat Pauline or Pauline in his spirit. Philip Neri, who was a great evangelizer of the 16th century in Rome, had the spirit of St. Paul. And I think someone like Padre Pio of our modern times, who died in the 60s, he too had a Pauline spirit. Enthusiastic, keen, zealous for the sake of the Lord. And nothing could stop their spiritual dynamism, their enthusiasm. Paul, at this several occasions, has been shipwrecked so many times, have been beaten with rods, they've tried to stone me to death, they've tried to poison me, they've tried everything to stop me, but nothing will, because I have the love of God within, and I know where I'm going. I'm waiting for that crown of righteousness at the end of my life. In other words, I've seen heaven, I know what to expect, and nothing is going to detour me from my course. When he was finally taken to Roman chains and then put to death, he wasn't crucified as was St. Peter, who was incidentally crucified upside down. Some say because he had failed to witness to the death of Christ and felt unworthy to be crucified as was the Master, the Lord, and thus chose the position of a slave upside down, nailed to a cross. Paul, however, was not just a Jew, but by birth a Roman citizen, and they were not permitted to be crucified. So he was taken outside of the city limits and beheaded. And today a church built upon his tomb is a memorial of that death and that sight. Both Peter and Paul died in Rome, and for some time there was scepticism put out by Protestants that they never actually went to Rome. It's another Catholic myth, fiction. There's no proof. Well, modern-day archaeology in the last 20 years have proven that the tombs of Peter and Paul are, in fact, their tombs. And the churches built upon those tombs are a memento of what they did and said. Peter, who became the first pope, was named Simon, but Jesus changed his name to Rock. They were standing near a massive rock at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus said to him, "And who do you, in the singular, say, I am?" And Simon was blessed by God from heaven. Jesus would say, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are a blessed man, because it wasn't your thick fisherman head that worked this out, but rather my Father in heaven has chosen you to be my prime minister. I'm building here a spiritual kingdom, the city of God, and you are the prime minister with the keys of authority, to open and close at whim and will." Peter, the first pope, would do that. He evangelized the Jews, suffered much, and as I said, was put to death in Rome. One reality behind St. Peter is the first link in the chain of the papacy that stretches from him to Pope Francis today. Think about this one hard fact, a fact of history. Empires have come and gone, the Greek, the Roman, dynasties, especially the Chinese, have come and gone. The Habsburg dynasty. Governments have come and gone. Institutions have been and will pass again. But only one edifice remains, and that's the church. Nothing else has lasted as long, nor will last as long, because Christ has promised us, "My kingdom shall remain until I return." And it shouldn't have lasted so long. You look at the history of the church, it should have stopped many times, like a clock. It shouldn't keep going because of what was happening. But it shall. And the popes are an indication of that. Links make up a chain, and we have a chain from Peter, who was once in chains and was freed by God's angel, to our present day. 266 links, 266 popes, about a third are canonized saints. In the last 100 years, we've seen some exceptionally holy popes, extraordinarily gifted. But that's not always the case. There's been about 8 bad popes, or popes that didn't live up to their office, who were scandalous in what they did and said. One Pope, Stephen, in the 9th century, dug up his predecessor, Formosus, dug up his dead body and put him in a chair and had a trial and condemned him. But it's sick, it's perverse. Other popes, Benedict, he sold the papacy to the highest bidder. Another pope, during the Borgia popes, Alexander, who had had children before becoming pope, gave to his son his position in the church. Scandals occurred. And yet, the papacy keeps on going. We call the pope the Holy Father, but not every father in Rome or bishop of Rome is holy. But that's not the point of the papacy. The point of the papacy, or the keys of the fishermen, is to teach. That's the office, or the charism of infallibility, that's given by the Holy Spirit to the person elected as pope. And it's simply this. Popes cannot teach error in faith or morals. Full stop. They might not be holy, they might not teach at all. But if they teach, it will be the teachings of Christ. And that's proven by the sheer fact that we can stack up from this floor to about halfway below the light here, all the teachings of the popes. We can stack them all up. I've got most of them, and you won't find one pope ever contradicting another. The Pope from England never said anything contrary to the Pope from Spain, and the one from Constantinople never rejected the teaching of the Pope from Antioch. In other words, the teaching is constant throughout. And that is impossible from a human perspective. Just think about our politicians. They change their policies every 6 months. They turn their heads around. They said yes one day, no the next. Oh, we've changed. The popes have never changed the church's teachings, because the popes can't, because they're guaranteed by the charism of infallibility not to teach error in faith or morals. Politics, social opinion, that can come and go, that can change, but not the teachings of the creed. And therefore, we can have that assurance, that stamp of authenticity upon this church, that the teachings of Christ will remain. There will never be four persons in God. There will never be women ordained. as priests. There will never be okay to terminate a pregnancy. There will never be. All these moral issues are hard issues today that the world does not like. Or rather, the world hates the church for, cannot change, because they're not the Pope's teachings, they're God's, they're Christ's, and Christ has given the keys to the fishermen, and the fishermen can't change the teaching. He may not teach, he may teach much, but what he teaches will be the mind of Christ. And that's a guarantee we have, proven by history and reasserted today by Pope Francis. And that's what we rejoice in today. One, the enthusiasm of a Saul became Paul, and two, of a Simon who became Peter. Guarantee to us today the truths of Christ. So let us rejoice on this feast of Peter and Paul and pray that we too might be enthusiastic with our faith, and we might always adhere, as did Peter and Francis, to the teachings of Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ.